Jowson, you better give me a beat to start the show before I pull off these booty shorts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, my lovable ex-Jowson.
You and your partner are thinking of spicing up your sex life with a couple swap. So here are the pros and cons and guidelines for how to do it right. The norm states that you shouldn't be sharing your partner with someone else. However, this unwritten rule has been thwarted, broken, bent, and ignored for centuries. So why not embrace a new norm and explore what's out there with a couple swap? If your partner is fully on board with it, sleeping with someone else does not make you a dirtbag cheater. Instead, it makes you an open-minded individual who isn't afraid of the power of sex. Many couples nowadays are experimenting with sex and intimacy through threesomes, open relationships, and swinging.
Hi everyone, Jowson with you here. Romantic Truth, Las Vegas, baby. Yeah, keeping it real. Darlene wrote me back from Atlanta and she said, thanks so much for the insights and the tips. I really need this, and I thank you once again, and we'll be listening to the show, and we'll share the link with other people. Love you much, Darlene. Darlene's kind of a cutie. Really nice looking young lady. I wish her all the best in life and luck. Darlene, if I wasn't, 59 years older than your little young ass? No. What is it? 59? No, 49. But nevertheless, let me go and pull back my devilish ways. All right, folks, what we're going to talk about today, spicing up your relationship. Now, you heard Natalie with the intro in regards to this particular subject matter, and you could look at the article I put it, I believe, on facebook.com/romantictruth. And it's an article from Love Panky. L-O-V-E-P-A-N-K-Y. Love Panky. Sounds like something that you stick your finger in and sniff it. Just saying. All right. Now, as you know, in most conventional relationships, monogamy is the big thing. That's no secret. People like stability. They like routine. They like knowing that they have someone to come home to. Now, the problem for some people is they're not quite honest when they get into relationships. They're not honest with themselves or their partner. They may desire more out of a partner than their partner can deliver. But they still go on and go through with the relationship. Now, this is unfair. What do I mean by this? Many of you have written in saying that I'm a little chauvinistic because I tell men to always go for the physical characteristics of the woman that you wanted first, and then look for the integrity, trustworthiness, and the character of the woman secondly. Now, the reason why I say this in particular is because women are very good as far as selling you on their personality, selling you on the characteristics, having you make the exception for them when it comes down to maybe she's not the physical package you want. Now, here's the thing, the difference between men and women. Ladies, you want everything. You want the guy to have the money, the job, the car, the looks. You want him to have all that shit, all the boxes checked. With us men, we only want really two boxes checked primarily. The physical attributes and the internal workings of the person. Now, when I say physical attributes, we can care less about your weave, your nails, all of that other shit. That's on you, ladies. You tell each other that stuff that kind of keeps you in a tailspin of trying to figure out what men want. As men, we don't give a shit. We really don't. Here's the thing. If a man is into a woman that has large breasts, wide birthing hips, a big booty, that's what he likes. That's what he wants. Okay? So it behooves him to get with a woman that has those characteristics, because that will help him in an effort to avoid going out of the relationship based on a carnal need. In other words, ladies, you could be that fantasy that he wanted that he probably couldn't get. But what he wants is, he just wants to make sure he can get along and be peaceful with you having those characteristics. Because I'm going to tell you, ladies, the worst kind of relationship you could be in is a man that really likes you and loves you as a person, but he doesn't find you physically satisfying. A lot of these guys cheat to get the kind of woman they want. Now, here's the other thing. Take, for instance, you may have the physical characteristics, but internally you guys are at odds on everything, right? It's not uncommon for him to cheat with a woman that's built just like you, maybe even the same complexion, same hair length, same hair color. But here's the only difference. The only reason why he's with this woman is because internally, with her character and all those other characteristics, she is what he's looking for compared to you. But see, a lot of women think that it's all about the physical attributes. That is a major part, but not the only part. Now, because one study, I think it was LA Detective, 65% of men who cheat, no, 60% of men who cheated, they usually cheated with a woman with the same physical characteristics as their spouse. Now, the other thing we have to look at is this. We have to look at the fact that some of you ladies aren't honest with the men you're with when you get in relationships and married to them. Now, hear me out, fellas. A lot of women will make whatever you have down there work. And a lot of women will lie to you about how great you are, even though you're not that great. They're doing that so they don't crush your self-esteem many times over. But what happens sometimes, people get bored in the relationship that they have chosen because they didn't get what they wanted in the first place. And this means that the relationship becomes a drone. It becomes routine. It becomes something that's not exciting or spectacular anymore. It becomes something that's kind of generic. And so therefore, to avoid being classified as a cheater, these folks will say something like, maybe we should have a swinging relationship or an open relationship. Now, here are the two distinctions. A swinging relationship means that you and your partner are doing something together with other couples. With an open relationship is usually where each of you go your separate ways with a common set of standards and values that you both have to abide by, supposedly. Those have been train wrecks from what I have seen. The open relationships and open marriages I have seen have been train wrecks, because you're leaving it up to the honor of that individual to basically abide by the standards and rules of the relationship. Some do, some don't. But we'll get into that in a little bit more detail later on. Now, as she said, partners want to explore. You know what they're trying to explore? They're trying to explore fantasies. They're trying to explore everything that they didn't get a chance to explore before they got into that marriage or relationship. That's what it comes down to, even their sexuality. They don't want to come out and say it. But really what many of them want to say is, you know what, maybe I should have been out there a little bit longer before I got with you. That's what they're really saying indirectly. Because, of course, people who are in the lifestyle, we're talking about swinging now, you have people who are advocates that say that it works for everybody, no matter. Then you have others that say, well, you got to have a quiet taste for it. And you have others that, you know, bougie and they have their nose up in the air. But here's the thing. In these types of situations, you're compromising your relationship greatly, even though they try to make it not seem as such, but you are. You're subjecting your relationship to potential infections, diseases. You're exposing your relationship to emotional instability by others, or even by your own self or partner. You're also putting yourself in a situation where your reputation and everything about you could be compromised. So these are a lot of risks you're taking to be involved in something like this. The integrity of the relationship, all of that is up for grabs. Now, the other thing you have to realize is that people try to use this as an exemption from cheating. Well, being that me and my partner are going with other couples, wife swapping or whatever the hell they're doing, we're considered not cheating on each other because both of us know about it. That's the logic behind it. Now, you notice the word dirtbag cheater was used because they're trying to clean it up and not make it sound so bad. Because what they're trying to do is to justify cheating. Now, I'm not coming at you with a biblical or moral sense, and I would never use the Bible for anything to qualify as far as anything moral, because there's so much immorality in the Bible that I won't even go there. Most disappointing book I ever read. Well, second most disappointing book I ever read. But I respect those of you who abide by it. To each his own. The other thing. Distress open-minded. Being open-minded. In other words, tolerant. Now, the one thing you have to realize is that what they're banking on is that you would have to lower your boundaries and your standards in order to participate if you have these high standards. I've always told couples that if you're going to get involved in a lifestyle like this, be in the lifestyle before you get a partner. Be in the lifestyle before you get married. Because in that way, it's easier for you guys to transition. Novice couples that get involved in something like this, there's a good possibility Frankensteins are created. And then there's usually one partner that wants to slow things down. The other partner wants to go forward. So you have to watch that as well. Because one of the partners, if not both of them, may be relieved to be sleeping with someone else besides the same person they've been sleeping with for a while. Now, there was a person that wrote me about 2 years ago about wife swapping. She was one of the wives. At first, this started out as an experimental thing that derived from a game of strip poker that two couples were playing. And eventually, it got down to where they were having people to do certain sex acts on the other partner. And then eventually, they had full-blown sex that night. Each partner with the opposite's spouse. Well, they decided to do that over a weekend. So she moved into this man's house for a weekend. His wife moved in with her husband for a weekend, and they tried it. They expanded to a week, a month, and then 6 months, and then it went on for a year. Well, her husband wound up getting the other woman pregnant. The other woman didn't believe in abortion. And of course, she was trying to persuade her to get an abortion because they couldn't afford to talk about forking out money for child support. Well, there was a wedge between the two households. Now, these people weren't necessarily friends. They only became familiar with each other because they were living across the street. They weren't close. Now, in many of these types of relationships, they recommend that you don't be close as far as having close friends, and they talk about the integrity of the friendship. Well, the way I look at it is, if you've already burned down the moral high ground of the relationship in general between the two of you as a couple, what the fuck do friends matter, right? So what happened here, she wound up leaving her husband. He fell madly in love with this man's wife. And it was a big mess. And eventually they divorced. He and the woman got together with the baby. And they stayed together for about 3 months. And then they split. Now, what I'll tell you is this. You're taking a major risk when you expose your relationship to something like this. So you might want to do your due diligence and research, and do not listen to any of these people that are trying to tell you how great of a lifestyle it is. I've known many people that have gotten into this lifestyle thinking it was going to fix their marriage and relationships, and it never did. It made it worse. Now, a couple other things you have to concern yourself with. What if you and your partner decide to go and swing with another couple or go to a swingers group, and then your partner falls in love with someone? Or you fall in love with someone? Now, in many of these lifestyle choices, whether it's polygamy, polyandry, you name the lifestyle, they always try to vilify your feelings as a weakness. They try to make it a strength of you, an enduring jealousy, enduring envy. That works against you because of one fundamental reason. That means that in some ways you got to care less about your partner in order to cope with what's happening. Not too many men are going to lay there and let a woman give him head while another dude is blowing the back out of his wife, or where she's in a room with about three dudes and they have every orifice filled. But they would look at him as being insecure. Well, you're not, you're being concerned. What if she gets pregnant? What if she gets a disease? And a lot of times they marginalize it by saying, oh, well, you don't worry about it because all the people that we know are clean. All the people we know are this or that. That's all you know on the surface. You don't know those people. You don't know what the fuck is going on with those people. You're just saying it to make yourself feel better in what you do. And this is what I'm getting at. These are the don't judge me people. Why they say that? It's because they don't want to be held accountable. Whenever you hear a person say, don't judge me, they don't want to be accountable for the shit they do because they know they do fuck shit. But they don't want to own it. Now, the other thing you have to realize about this particular type of situation is that at some point, guess what happens? As it happened with many of my other friends that have been into this lifestyle. And they've tried to talk me and women I dated in the past to, oh, you should try it. No. Because I look at some of the carnage, the emotional carnage that you guys are going through. Because one of my friends, his wife was upset because there was this certain woman in this swingers group that he always had to screw no matter what. And he spent more time screwing her than any other woman because they were supposed to do pass arounds. And he literally was having feelings for her. And he told me about it. He said, man, you know, he says, if she wasn't married, she'd be mine. And he said, my wife's jealous, blah, 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 blah. But it's the lifestyle you chose. Lifestyle didn't choose you. Now, the other thing too, with this that people don't realize, you may be associating yourself with someone that may have a bad reputation, that may have some psychological issues that you don't know about, or some psycho-emotional issues you don't know about, that may extend far beyond just the swingers environment. Now, true enough, this can happen anywhere. But don't you think it's a little bit safer if you met someone with your clothes on and discovered this prior to being naked with them, having sex with them? Just saying. Because here's the thing. There was one guy that my friend was telling me about. They had to kick him out of the group. They had paid all this money to be in this circle of friends. It was like $50 a month or whatever membership. But here was the thing. The guy was a child molester. He had done time in prison. He was registered. But nobody ever checked his background. So he's there with his girlfriend and they're swapping up. And of course, one of the women found out and they eventually kicked him out of the group. But see, these are things you have to understand, folks. You expose yourselves to a lot of things you're not maybe aware of. Now, I'm not bad-mouthing this lifestyle, but I'm being realistic about it. Being that I had friends that were in it. Enter at your own risk. More in a moment.
The difference between open relationships and swinging. Firstly, do not confuse the two. An open relationship means that both parties consent to their partners engaging in sexual activities with other people. On the other hand, swinging is a lifestyle that embodies partners in committed relationships agreeing to the act of swapping partners with other couples. Read 20, Open Relationship Rules You Must Know If You Want to Give Non-Monogamy a Try and Make Sex Exciting.
All right, now, you heard it, folks. Let's go into the distinctions. An open relationship versus swingers. Now, on the surface, an open relationship means that the two of you have given consent that you can act autonomously by choosing another partner outside of the relationship or marriage and sleep with them, have a full-blown relationship with them. Now, some of the rules that they have are you can't fall in love with the other person. You might not be able to go on a weekend trip with them or a weekend getaway. You might not be able to spend a night. You might not be able to bring them over to your place when your other partner's there, or even bring them over in general. You might have to wear a condom. You might have it where there's no oral or anal sex, only conventional sex. Some may even be so specific as to say no doggy style sex, only conventional missionary. Now, all of these things are more like a wish list of both parties. They both agree on it, they go out, and they may even have it so tight, like this one couple that wrote in about it, where the lady specifically was talking about, she was advocating for the lifestyle. Her husband got upset with her because she had broken one of the rules one time, and she slept with a black man. And that was against the rules to sleep with a black person. They could sleep with anybody else but minority. But not minority, but black. And she did so. And so the punishment was, she had to stay home. You can't go outside and play. Now, there are different rules, different boundaries that these folks set up for themselves, for these relationships. It's totally autonomous, but naturally people are going to break rules, right? Now, everything's fine until something happens. I've also had friends in this type of relationship, and let me tell you what happened in one case. Others, they went fine. But this one case in particular, I knew the female. She was a friend of mine. I tried talking to her at one point. She told me the lifestyle she was in. I said, well, let's be friends because I'm not going to engage in that. I said, if I'm dealing with a woman, I'd rather have a relationship with her instead of everybody else she's fucking. Well, what she decided to do was to go against one of the boundaries in the relationship. She went out of town with this guy. They lived in Los Angeles. She flew to New York. She stayed a whole week. Didn't answer any of her boyfriend's calls or anything. Living it up. She comes back to LA. She had a lot of explaining to do. He was upset. He was furious. And he said, just for that, I'm going to take a week to myself. He took a week to himself. She invited the guy that she went to New York with to come over to their place. And so she went on and had fun with him there at the house. Well, they got into a heated argument later on. And that's when she revealed to him, well, you know, he was here and he blew my back out, etc., etc. And of course, some hands were thrown. He got locked up. And she wanted the relationship back the way it was again, but just her and him. Well, she bailed him out. She thought that that was going to be the deal. They went to counseling. While he was going to counseling, he was also still keeping in touch with the lady that he had the affair with. And eventually he came back and told my friend, I'm sorry, but we got to end it because I'm in love with this woman. And she was trying to hold him to the standard of, well, we're not supposed to fall in love with somebody that we've been sleeping with. And he was like, fuck you, I'm going on with her. Now, these situations happen. She called me up crying, oh, he left me. And I'm saying to myself, no. And what I was saying no to was, she wanted to come over. She wanted to cuddle. She wanted to be around somebody that really cared about her. Because I knew I was going to fuck her if she came over. So I said, no, we ain't doing that. Stay where you are. Because the last thing I need is someone involved in that lifestyle. Because it had been hard to deal with, hard to manage. So I chose not to. Even though she said she's swerving down, she didn't want to get involved with another open relationship, which she lied about and went on and did anyway in the next one. What I'm getting at is that you have some people that are not happy with who they are, let alone with the person they chose. And you will find this, not saying that all people are like this who get into open relationships, but it's like some people haven't sown their own oats yet. It's really a waste of time. You might as well not be in a relationship. And that way you don't have to worry about being accountable to someone else, but some people do it for the stability. You'll find some women doing this for the stability. Because the way they look at it, well, if I talk him into an open relationship, that means that other women can take care of the bedroom action. He'll have other women he can sleep with, and then I could go and sleep with whomever I want to and probably start my situation. I look at an open relationship as nothing more than friends with benefits with a commitment and obligation. That's it. Now, and there are a lot of people that are going to advocate and say, oh no, it's more than that. Oh, fuck you. I don't want to hear that bullshit. Because my friends have told me the same argument about how great it was, how wonderful it was. And all of them, every one of them that were involved in those relationships were miserable. I wonder who she's fucking tonight. I know she's fucking somebody. Well, no, wait a minute. You're supposed to have been so down with this. Well, you're sitting here in a bar with us trying to pick up another woman. You're still sitting over there worrying about it. Take that shit somewhere else. But see, that was the thing. They would say that shit on the surface, but deep down inside, it was a whole different story. Now, another thing, too, about this particular type of arrangement. They may have etiquette, like when you see me with my partner, you know, you can't approach me. She's probably telling the guy, you can't approach me. If the guy wants you bad enough, he will. Your words mean nothing to somebody that is obsessive. And this is one of the dangers when you get a third party involved in your relationship. You don't know what the mental and emotional state of that person is. You just don't know. So you're taking a big risk. And some people use these types of relationships to kind of resolve the issues in their marriage and relationships. And a lot of times, this is nothing more than just a placebo. It's a symptom of a larger problem. The larger problem is between the two of you. And then many times you don't want to go to counseling because that's for crazy people, or you think it'll be a waste of money, so you don't do it, and so you try to self-medicate by, oh, we'll just get a threesome and see how that goes. Now, swinging arrangements and threesomes. Keep in mind that these situations are set up primarily so that both parties don't feel as though they're guilty of cheating. That's primarily it. And so they can live out the fantasies they so desire. They want to fuck the neighbor's wife, never had a chance to. Now they got the opportunity to do so. And they had a creative license from the spouse or partner to do so, and from the other party. As I told you before, all sex has to be consensual. Now, a friend of mine was telling me about a swingers group that they were with. And there were a couple of guys that the women refused to sleep with. And so whenever they would have the meetup, all the women would try to avoid sleeping with these two guys. because these guys were a little rough in their demeanor. And so this friend of mine was telling me that what eventually happened, they brought in two unicorns. They already had wives. They brought in two other women. A unicorn is a woman that is single, prefers to stay single, has no intentions of having kids for the most part, has no intentions of being with a man one-on-one, at least long-term. They might do it just to go and get an urge met, but for the most part, they like dealing with couples. And so when these guys came in and they had two women each, their wives and the other woman, some of the other members got upset because these other two women would not sleep with any of the other men outside of the other two men that were there, that, you know, that came in with them. And that raised some stink, and then eventually they got X'd out. And people that liked them quit coming, and then before you know it, the whole thing fell apart. It depends. There's no one set structure on these kind of arrangements. Each swingers group is different, and they have plenty of them throughout the country, and some of the places you would never think of, from rural towns all the way to big cities. It's on the download. Some of them meet on Facebook. They meet on Snapchat. They have different places where they will go and coordinate. Now, if you are a single man and you're trying to go to one of these, they might even charge you to go. Now, they might have food, hors d'oeuvres, alcohol, that kind of stuff. But these are usually set up in informal environments where it's not a thing where it would be classified as a public event, where you have to have a license, liquor license and all that. So it might be at someone's home. It may be in a hotel room. It may be in a barn, because I've heard of them being in barns as well. It depends on where they want to do their thing. Now, again, they will use your emotions against you, because you're not supposed to have any feelings. Now, here's the problem with many of these types of boutique relationships. There's a lot of trauma and emotional damage with some of these people. They don't want to admit it, but there is. Even my friend that was a part of that whole lifestyle that I talked about just now, that person was impacted by some violent shit that happened to them when they were younger. Never been addressed in no therapist or anything like that. Person chose another lifestyle. And this is what some people will do. Some people actually look at taking on a lifestyle like this as punishment, because they've been conditioned to believe that they've done something bad. Maybe it's by an abuser. Who knows? But a lot of these people are doing it for reasons outside of that bullshit smile they always tell you. Now, a warning to folks. This one lady in particular on TikTok didn't quite know what she was doing. She went to a family gathering. Everybody's coupled up and married. But it was just a legitimate family gathering where everybody was eating dinner and everything. And they had to bring something. Well, this lady bought a pineapple, being naive, not knowing the symbolism with the pineapple. For those of you who don't know, a pineapple is the symbol of a person liking you. Now in Hawaii, it just means something, or in certain parts of the Pacific, it's like a gift of endearance. It's not something sexual. However, in the swingers world, it means that they like you in a way of having sex with you. Now, you may see these pineapples, these little displays, on doors of hotels or cruise ships. And I think that if it's turned upside down, there's a certain status with that. And if it's turned up, there's another status. I think one is dominant, one is submissive, what I understand, what my friends told me. Because they used to go on all these swingers cruises and all this shit. Now, the thing to keep in mind is that some people own that lifestyle 24/7. They'll go out and tell anybody that, you know, hey, I'm a swinger or whatever. People who have something to lose, have a reputation to lose, they're going to try to keep that shit on the download. They're going to try to be discreet. And the problem is that you subject yourself to potentially being blackmailed. If you're someone of prominence, and maybe someone could actually ruin your career. That's the downside that they don't talk about. As with anything, you have good, bad, and indifferent, right? So this is something to think about before you get involved. And another thing too, experimenting in these types of relationships, be careful. You might create a Frankenstein. A Frankenstein is a person that may be very, very timid at first, may not want to get involved, and then they wind up really liking it, and then you can't get them out of the lifestyle, and they could give a tinker's damn about the integrity of the relationship because they're having more fun sleeping with all of these other people than even being with you in a relationship. It can happen. And before you know it, you're saying, oh, damn, what have I created? But you have to understand, if you have these tendencies going into the relationship and you never address them prior to getting into it, you deserve what you get. That's the reason why you hear a lot of people saying, oh, let's not talk about sex, politics, or religion. You better talk about all three of them fuckers, because those things will be the things that will break you up. And you got to be honest with your partner. Tell them what you're into. We'll talk more in just a moment.
If the only time you have sex is during your out on the town swinging sessions, then you can safely say that you have a problem with your own relationship. Work on that first before attempting anything else. Read How to Start Swinging with Your Partner and Meeting Other Like-Minded People.
Duh. Now, what this means primarily is that you guys would come out better as roommates than you would as lovers. You might come out better as friends. And it's gotten to a point now where you're not even having sex with your partner, but you'll have sex with other people. And for some people, that's actually where they want to be. They want to have like a partner in crime. And they go out, they fuck other couples, they have a postmortem, but yet they may find that they're not interested in each other. Now, there are some relationships that actually can be sustained this way. It all depends on how they approach it and how they look upon each other and respect each other. They can still genuinely love each other. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they have to just walk away. Because, see, the way we are conditioned in most relationships, it's like, okay, if we don't have a relationship, you have no value to me. So the friendship and all the rest of that shit is out the door. But in this case, if you find that your partner is more interested in having sex with other people, but they don't mind being with you. Because see, here's the thing. And I used to see this shit a lot too. You would have couples that would go out and they would be this very sensual, salacious couple. And the wife would be screwing around, you know, talking to guys. The guy would be screwing around talking to other women. And the thing is, you may not know it at the time. I remember one time I went to this one night spot and we saw a couple like this. They were Latino. And the guy was talking to all these women at this table. There was one lady's birthday, and they were asking him about the woman he was with. He said, yeah, she's my wife, but, you know, she already knows that, you know, I mess around with other women, and she messes around with other men. Now, a couple of women took offense to that, and they, you know, asked him to leave. He left, and then one of the women at the table wound up matching up with him that night. The other woman wound up with a dude. And the one guy that was sitting there at the bar, he was saying, they're back at it again. And I was just listening in because he was talking to another guy. And he said, yeah, he said, they always come in here and they pick a couple, pick a woman or a man, and they go home with them. And that was something they did on a regular basis. Now, the thing is, I can't judge them for doing that. That's what they do. But personally, I wouldn't want no shit like that. Mm-mm. Because, see, some guys like to do that for their ego. They'll go and have their woman be so salacious and sensual, dancing with all these guys, that he'll come over and slap a kiss on her or something like that in order to make the guys jealous. Trying to boost his ego. I think it's bullshit, but people do it. Whatever floats your boat. We'll continue. All right, now let's look at some of the pros and cons of this, or any of these lifestyle choices, whether they're open marriages, open relationships, swinging, polyandry, polygamy, all of these other things, right? The first thing that you have to look at is your feelings are considered a dare. They try to make it seem like it's a fear. It's not a fear, it's a natural reaction to be jealous, to be angry, to be sad, to be happy. But they're expecting you to superficially distance yourself emotionally from the act that you're doing with this other couple or with this other individual. Now, please keep in mind a couple of things here. What good does it do you to not be yourself if you're naked with someone? When you could be naked with someone that really cares about you and be open and honest with them instead of putting on a facade. I'm just saying. Some of the pros they say is being exciting. They would count that as a pro. They would count as a pro for this these lifestyles of a sexual burst of energy. All right, and sexual variety. You're dealing with different people. Like I said, what's the use of even being in one of these relationships when you could just be single and still get the same benefit, if not more benefits? In other words, you're not fucking somebody else's wife. She's not fucking somebody else's husband or boyfriend or whatever. You have more of a variety of people when you're single. And not only that, you have more autonomy. You have less restraints. It's just, it works out better being single if you're going to get into something like this. A sense of adventure. Now, keep in mind, these people are usually bored in their relationships. That's the reason why they're doing most of this shit. Or they may have a relationship that's in some sort of danger as far as failing. And so they may choose to use this as an alternative to save it. Now, the reality, let's face the reality, all right? As I told my friend one time when he was getting ready to get married, I said, are you ready to chew on that same piece of gum for 20, 30 years of your life? Man, you have to say it like that. Well, he got married. In his 10th year of marriage, man, I got to find me another woman. I said, what's wrong? I want me a woman with a big ass. My girl got no ass. Well, you had a choice of getting a woman with an ass in the beginning. I said, but she won you over with her personality, didn't she? Yeah, I love her. I said, yeah, I know you love her. I said, but I know what you're going through. Hell, I did that one time with a lady. I got in a relationship with her. And I had her doggy style and I went to grab her booty and I realized she didn't have one. It was fucked up. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. Using your imagination is something else. But here's the thing. You're going to have to realize, folks, that if you want this person in your life, and you want it to work, a third party is not going to do anything but third, fourth, fifth, sixth party, doing nothing but complicate matters. Now, there was a lady that wrote me, and she was in a polygamous relationship. And she was sharing this man with three women. She was a single mom in her 30s. The other woman was in her 40s that he was with, and the other woman was also in her 30s. Well, he fucked around and brought in a 19-year-old that he had just gotten pregnant. And, of course, the poor girl went through a lot of scrutiny with these older women. And, of course, they told her that, you know, she's, like, new, so she's going to have to work her way up, that kind of stuff. Well, he got tired of this shit and got rid of all three of them and kept the 19-year-old. This is the risk you run with something like this. And the one lady that wrote me, the 33-year-old, was having a problem with the fact that she felt as though nobody loved her. She felt as though she was displaced. So she wound up in a relationship like that to at least get a piece of a man. You don't have to do that shit, ladies. See, a lot of you ladies give up your power as a woman and you settle for shit like that. But you'll do more shit for that guy that has other women living with him that he's fucking on a regular basis inside the same house than you would for a single guy that's about something. Or you pass his ass up. So you do it plenty of times. Now, here's the thing here. Many times these people are looking for something that is not there in their relationship. Because they were so into that person. Guess what happens? It's what couples do every day. Some couples dress up. They may role play. They may even start out like they're just starting over in a relationship. I remember Monica did that shit with me one time. She said, let's act like we just met each other. We did. And let me tell you, it was nice. And then there were times when we dressed up when she went to the Halloween party. And she dressed up pretty much like a rock and roll vixen. She had these thigh-high red leather boots, miniskirt that just barely came to her crotch with half of a booty sticking out the back because it didn't cover her whole buttocks. And she had a black leather jacket on that matched it, with a low-cut white top. And she had a black wig with the bob, red lipstick. And she had the pale makeup on. And she had a cape on. And we had to sneak her out of the house because, of course, Terrence and everybody was living in the same mansion without her being seen dressed like that. Her mom caught our asses when we were coming back from the party. She's waiting at the top of the stairs. Well, we never lived that down for a while. Best sex I ever had that night. I never forget it. But here's the thing. Fellas, sometimes your woman wants to spice it up, so she may go and change her hairstyle, hair color. She may change her appearance just to please you. Don't laugh at her. Enjoy it. Because she's putting forth effort to keep the relationship going. She's feeding the relationship. She's helping with P-E-A-C-E, and she wants you to get a P-I-E-C-E of her. Nothing wrong with that. Now, the other thing that we have to look at here as far as their pros. Your partner's in crime. That's not saying much. Enhances happy relationships. That varies. If your relationship's happy, why the fuck do you need to be with somebody else? I don't buy none of this bullshit. They try to sell these ideas of these lifestyles to you like it's going to be all cherries and roses, and it's not. Now, the cons. You have to keep it discreet and secret. Like I said before, the wrong people find out, your career is over with. Or your reputation, at least, in many cases. How about if the partners don't agree on certain things? Which means that, take for instance, the man is into B&D and S&M, and the other couple may have a wife that's into that, but the husband may not be into that, and it's a thing where you got to coordinate who likes what and that kind of thing. And don't forget, these people are going in with partners that won't do certain things in the bedroom. So the guy may have a woman and she may say, well, you know what? I don't suck dick. So that means that they'd have to find a couple where the man doesn't mind a woman not sucking dick. To me, it's just too much of a headache, a logistical nightmare, and a waste of fucking time. Because they don't want you to become friends with these people, by the way. They don't want you dealing with friends in general. Because they're talking about how they would ruin the relationship, ruin the friendship. But they fail to realize just this situation alone may ruin your relationship or marriage. There was one lady that wrote in. They went to a swingers gathering. This was about 3 years ago, I think. She really loved her husband. But when she went to the other room and this man had her husband bent over and he was plowing his back 40, She never let that image get out of her head, and she filed for divorce afterwards. And she wrote me because she's in the midst of, at that time, of dating this other guy, and she was wondering whether or not she should ask him if he had those kind of tendencies. She was still traumatized by ex-husband. Things that she never thought he would be involved in and never engaged in. But she went along with being in a swingers environment with him to appease him, only to have her heart broken. I don't know too many women that want to see their husband butt fucked. But then again, you never know. Some don't care, right? All right. Finding swapping partners. That's easy to do. They try to make it a con, but that's easy to do. You can go on any Facebook group. They have groups on Facebook, Snapchat. They have groups over the internet. They have adult friend finders and all that. That's not hard to find. You could always find somebody to swing with if you're into that lifestyle. That's not difficult. Now, the stressed communication is being a thing that's important. Again, you got to have consideration with that communication, don't you? And you got to be effective with your communication. Not everybody's a great communicator. So that has to be looked at. Compromise. The one thing you got to realize with many of these lifestyles, many times you have to be persuaded to be in them. Not all of them. But it's just like with Christianity or anything else. Somebody's coming in there trying to persuade you. The only thing I tell you is this. If you're comfortable dealing with people that are dysfunctional, emotionally scarred, or fucked up in other kind of ways that you don't know about, go right ahead, because you don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know whether you're dealing with somebody that maybe had been an axe murderer. You don't know what the fuck you're dealing with a lot of these situations. Let's be honest about it. Most people are not going to do their due diligence. There was a lady that I was talking to one time, and she told me that if I wanted to be with another woman, it was no problem. Just, you know, don't bring her around her. And she was going on with this shit because she said, men always cheat, you know, da da da, and I'd only want sex once a month from you. And at first I started to say, huh, that seems kind of neat. Then I said, wait a minute. And after talking to her a little bit, she was exposed to some shit that no. Because, see, she didn't have a backbone after that. Because she was in a relationship prior where basically the guy was hyper dominant. And she was nothing more than just submissive, willing to do anything. And the problem with a woman like that, fellas, is that just like you can dominate her, another man can too. Because she yields to authority too easily and too quickly. Now, true enough, she has to like the guy, but if she likes the guy, you're fucked. Now, the other thing, when it comes down to compromise, it's not really a compromise. Some people will give you ultimatums. Some women will give men ultimatums if they're into that lifestyle. And of course, the guy will probably capitulate more so because of the fact that he's afraid of losing his woman. He doesn't want to lose her to that lifestyle, so he's going to go in there and fight for his love. People realize one thing. If your partner is willing to give themselves away for free to someone else, and you had to work and pay to get to where you are with that person, you're the biggest damn fool in the world. You're going to work your way up. And this is the reason why ladies, men get so pissed off at you when you cheat on them, because they had to work and go through some shit to get to you. The other dude didn't have to do half the shit he had to do in order to get between your legs. And that's one of the realities of this whole cheating situation. But most men won't say anything about it. A lot of them will leverage the fact that you cheated, and they'll use that to the nth degree and ask for all kind of shit, threesomes and everything else. Then you have others that may just walk away altogether. Now, I want to tell you, when it comes to cheating, the women that come out really the best in that are women who have cheated with another woman. Especially another woman that the husband want to fuck or the boyfriend want to fuck. That right there will probably get you an exemption in some cases. Not all. Now, the thing to keep in mind, fellas, if you ever are with another dude, that shit may not work because women are not that forgiving on man on man. However, if it's a situation where she could probably have a threesome with two dudes, you and the other dude, she might do that. But don't count on it. So the best thing to keep in mind is this. Find a person you want to be with in life, and you guys work together in order to make it work. Because I'm going to tell you, those third parties, they can be problematic. There was a couple here in Nevada that had a lady that they moved in to rent a room, and eventually they started a threesome. Well, they found out this woman was a unicorn. Well, the wife and the husband decided that, okay, you know, we could pay the rent ourselves. We don't really need her around, and she's kind of been an obstruction. They wanted basically their space back. But when they told her this, the woman nutted up. Got mad at him. She said, no, we are in a relationship. The three of them. And eventually, she moved out. And it was the wife that wrote me and talked about how horrific thing it was because her husband was the one that came up with the bright idea. She was worried about losing her husband, so she allowed this woman to move in so he could screw her. But she had low self-esteem. She was overweight. He kept telling her shit like that. But after he realized what he had gotten into by bringing this woman in, he said, well, I'd rather deal with my shapeless wife as opposed to this finer woman that's probably crazy as fuck. He went back to what worked for him in the past. So it all depends on how you guys structure your relationships. The respect, the dignity, the standards. Ladies, tell men up front some of the shit you're not doing in the bedroom before you start dating them. Let him know this so he can make a wise decision as to whether or not he needs to be with you. And don't try to be greedy and lie and say that, you know, you'll do this, you'll do that when you won't. Fellas, same thing. Same thing. I had a friend years ago that started dating his sister. He's a black guy. But he only liked white women. And the reason why he dated this sister was because he wanted to appease his family. Shut them up. He wanted him with a black girl. Well, eventually, he started messing around with these white women, getting caught, people telling on him and shit. And eventually, he came clean. But when he came clean, family automatically said, we ain't speaking to you no more, and they didn't to this day. But the problem was, he wasn't honest with himself and he wasn't honest with the woman that he was with initially. You have to be honest with yourself. You're trying to do shit for other people's benefit, be an inconvenience for the rest of your life. You got to go out there and go for what's best for you, because the rest of those people, they don't give a fuck about you. You're trying to do things for your family to appease them. Them motherfuckers are going to be dead at some point. Then what? You still got to go on with life. You still got to deal with the person you're dealing with. So you have to think beyond the obvious. Because they're not going to be putting up with the hell and the shit you're putting up with. Now, this also leads to another thing called revenge cheating. And we've talked about this. Revenge cheating is usually when a man or a woman is hurt by their partner because they got them cheating or they did something that was very hurtful to them. And they go out and now they're on a mission just to fuck. Fellas, these women will show up in bars and nightclubs. A lot of them will only have a dress on or a skirt on, no underwear. They're just going to fuck you. They're not going to kiss you. They're not going to hug you. They'll let you suck on their titties. They just want to have the satisfaction of somebody they fucked so they can go back and tell their boyfriend or tell them, well, you know, you were out there, you were with her. Well, I went out and got me some dick last night. Because you're nothing more than a prop. That's it. For them. So don't fall in love with these women. I don't care how good the pussy is, because she's going to give you some good pussy. Because see, she's got to prove a point. She's thinking that she's hurting him by giving herself away for free. But But in actuality, she's lowering her own standards. And ladies, there's some men out there that are missiles like that too. You think you got you a good man? No, you got you a hurt man that's gonna fuck the dog shit out of you and leave you there. And if you get pregnant or whatever, that's on you. That's the way it goes with those people. Because when they're hurt like that and they're scarred like that, they want to do something that would definitely make them feel better. So you're not really getting sex. You're getting more aggression and anger than anything else. And these women will come to the club, take you out to the parking lot, fuck you in your car, in your minivan or whatever. And then after that, pull the skirt down, take off and go home. I think nothing of it. They don't care if they got STD or whatever, doesn't matter. They could always blame it on their boyfriend, husband, or whomever. I never forget, I had a coworker, and we had to work overtime one night. And now, we're in the building. We're all working our asses off that night because we had to get a project done by the next morning. This coworker's woman called him about 3 times that night. When are you getting off? When are you getting off? What time are you getting off? Like she was concerned. What she was trying to do was gauge the time that he would be off. So, he goes home. And the next day he's saying, man, you know, something ain't right. We were like, what you mean? Because we were in the break room talking. He said, you know, my woman called me all last night. I was like, yeah. He said, she wasn't even at home when I got home. I was like, well, you know, who knows? Maybe it could have been something. She had an emergency or something like that. We're trying to be optimistic like a son of a bitch talking about maybe she went out to see her mom or something like that. And he had a counter for everything on that. And then after a while, we just said, but he knew what was probably happening. Well, a few days later, he comes in, he speaks to the project manager, and he said that he needed to go to the doctor. And we were all like, you know, what's going on? But it was a private matter, of course. Manager wasn't going to share it with everyone. Well, later on, he told me. He said, man, I got STD. He said, now, you know, we worked that night all that overtime, right? He said, that's the only time she has been completely out of my sight. He said, she wasn't home that night. That was the first time that ever happened. He put two and two together and realized she went out and got some dick, got infected, and then infected him. But she tried to blame it on him. And I told him, I said, my personal opinion, that's ghetto shit. Leave her ass alone. And eventually he did. By the time the project was over, we got our bonuses. Shit. He wasn't thinking about her ass. On to the next. But you'll see situations like this as you stay out there long enough on the dating scene. And it doesn't have to be this thing where you're waiting years and this shit can happen as you meet people. A lot of people don't talk about some of the experiences they have, because if everything was so wonderful and cheery, there wouldn't be such a dreaded attitude about online dating in general, or dating in general for that matter. Because just because the people are online don't make them any worse than the people that you actually meet. Because many of them have the same problems, same issues. You just don't know it because you don't know them. And it takes you a little bit longer to find out. And when you do, some of you feel as though you've wasted your time with that person. And that's not uncommon. Because people are good as far as putting up a facade, making you think one thing and they're another way. But you don't know until you get to know them. And then you're not going to get to know them fully. You're just going to get to know what they want you to know about them. And that may be very limited. So you have to be very careful and do your due diligence. I always told you the 4 questions that will help you. You want to know about them. So tell me a little bit about yourself, about anything about you. I'm not talking about things that you own, drive in, live in, or anything like that. I want to hear about your money in the bank. I want to hear about what's your perspective on you. What kind of person are you? What kind of personality do you have? What kind of question is that? They ask you something like that? It might not be the person for you. they don't have a sense of self yet, sense of identity. If they start talking about what they own, what they live in, what they drive, they ain't about shit. Then you go on to the next. So what is your passion? What do you have a passion for? What would you do for free if you could do it for life? What drives you? What drives me? Nothing drives me but money. That's another red flag. Ain't about shit. You can find that anywhere. That kind of response. Next thing. So what about some of your strengths and weaknesses? What are you good at? Well, I'm great at everything. Red flag. He's lying. Next thing. So if we were to get together as a couple, what do you see us in 3 years? Well, I plan on being here and doing this. Another red flag. Guy's telling you that, hey, it's all about me. Fuck you. These are things, but I'm not talking about if you have to ask those questions direct like that. You can ask them in a roundabout way in those same categories. And that'll give you a better assessment as to what you're dealing with and what's a priority to those folks. Because that's going to help you make your determination and your decision. We start talking about the bedroom things. So what kind of sex do you like? You should know that. You're not going to talk about this on the first date or so, but later on, as you guys have dated a bit and you are at that point, usually guys, when a woman's asking for a commitment from you, that means she's about ready to give you some pussy. But she wants a kind of like a guarantee of some sort of insurance policy that you're going to be with her after you bust that nut. Just going to be honest with you. Now, there's some women that don't give a damn. They're the three downs, I told you. The three downs are first date, they go to meet you. They decide whether or not, you know, you're entertaining enough for them for a second date. Second date, they're looking for an emotional connection. Third date, they're ready to fuck and see whether or not that works. And then from there, they'll make the assessment as to whether they're going to go on and be in a relationship with you. So you have some that use the three down technique, and then you have others that will prolong it and take it out for an extended period of time. But now, you know, there are other things you could do. There are places that couples can rent where they can go and live out fantasies. They have all kind of props, toys, vibrators, dildos, that kind of thing that you could purchase. I would strongly advise you, ladies, don't use somebody else's dildo or vibrator. I don't give a damn if you put a condom on it or not. Just don't do it. You know, crabs can still exist on those things. You never know. Get your own. Keep your own. I'm just saying. And make sure if you have children that you put your toys in a place where they can't get them. Don't wind up like the lady that was on a Zoom call and she was dressed like a Winnie the Pooh mom. For those of you who don't know, she had on a blouse and she was in panties, but she was sitting behind a desk. So during the Zoom call, they couldn't see that. They just saw her, you know, professionally dressed from the top up. Well, in the background, she heard the people on the Zoom call gasp. The little boy had found her double-head dildo and he was walking around the room spinning around like a helicopter. This woman gets up, not really thinking that she still had only panties on. And she's chasing him around trying to get this thing out of his hand and trying to put it away. And then she starts to realize when she comes back, she said, well, I guess you guys saw me. Kind of embarrassing. So make sure your items are put away safely. I'm just saying. Now, fellas, don't get intimidated by the woman using vibrators or dildos. They're not going to replace you. If anything, they're going to enhance the experience for her sexually. Because if she's been using those for a long time, what that more than likely means is that she's not sleeping around with a lot of guys, which is a good thing for you. She got a chance to discover her body a lot more. And I guarantee you, she could guide you all the way through her having an orgasm. I'm talking about that one where her voice changes, her eyes roll up in the back of her head, that lump forms in her throat, and her damn knees get weak like noodles. She'd probably levitate off the bed. I'm telling you. They know their bodies. And here's the thing. Once they feel as though they have a willing participant, someone who is going to
go through that experience with them, and take their time and communicate with them, and work with them, and considerate of their feelings. They're going to reciprocate, be considerate of yours, and then you guys will be able to work that out together without a problem. And before you know it, all of this shit that I talked about earlier will be irrelevant, because what happens then, you will know each other so well that you will know what will actually start things. But she's going to expose you to her erogenous zones and a whole bunch of shit, and you guys are going to experiment on your own as a couple. And there's going to be shit you're going to do together, and before you know it, you're not even going to have any need for the rest. Because see, the thing is, what happens is this. When you don't put forth any effort, of course you're going to get bored as a couple. Then you want a third party to fix it. Like you're taking your relationship in for a damn oil change. This is something that the two of you can work on organically. I know Monica and I, but we did some shit. I'm glad fish can't talk. That time in the ocean, well, never mind. But I do not recommend fucking underwater. It's not a good experience. Bubbles are not your friend. Neither is scuba gear. I'll leave it at that. But what I am saying, what I am saying is, you will find that overall, if you guys are really into each other, none of this shit that I mentioned earlier matters. If you're not, someone may look at this as an alternative, but you might want to look at counseling to see whether or not some of the issues can be resolved in that manner. Be careful of the sex therapist you go to. Make sure they're a sex therapist licensed that's not going to be getting in the bed with you and fucking too. But you got some people that call themselves sexologists, and they're out there, and they're perverted asses out there just trying to sleep with people. You want to make sure that you get with a licensed professional for anything. It's been a pleasure, folks. I will talk to you tomorrow, and we'll have a different subject, and I believe, if I'm correct, it's on divorce. And then the day after that, it will be on the 26 to 34 demographic. Matter of fact, I think I'll do the 26 to 34 demographic tomorrow and do divorcees the day after. We'll talk to you then. Take care. Love you all.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. Available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.